Tonight we're going to speak on the subject of words, the tongue. And of course, when we talk about the tongue and words, it is absolutely vital. Words, that's how God relates with us. It's impossible for us to relate with one another without the use of words. And as we discuss the subject of words, or as Matt announced, the power of words, I just want to say it is not possible to speak on the subject comprehensively. There is just simply so much in God's word on the subject. However, trust that the Lord has enough for us to take with us tonight on the subject. So let us pray together before we get into it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are the God who speaks living and powerful words, truthful words, necessary words, flawless words. And dear Lord, those are the words that we are very interested in. And ask, Lord, that we will hear you in particular. And in hearing you on this matter of words, that it'll affect the way that we use them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've heard of the old English proverb, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you heard of that proverb? Well, it was meant to encourage toughness. Do not let the insults of people affect you. Physical injuries are real, but it says words can simply be ignored. But real life tells a different story. Words have enormous power. A rumor can destroy a person's reputation. A cutting comment from a parent can echo in a child's life for many years. A thoughtless remark can humiliate a colleague. In the age of social media, a careless post can unleash an online public shaming that follows somebody for a very long time. A harsh word spoken in anger can destroy a relationship. Just to think about how our society uses words like lying, misinformation, slander, gossip, gaslighting, verbal abuse, mocking, hate speech, exaggeration and deception. And the list is a lot longer than that. These terms exist because people realize that words can wound deeply. They fracture relationships. They can fuel conflict. They shape how people see themselves and others. Every day, we see the impact of speech, don't we? It can inflame anger, damage trust. It can divide friends. Yet, the opposite is also true. While words can wound, they also can heal, especially God's words. A sincere apology can restore a relationship. A timely word can encourage somebody who is broken in spirit. Wise and thoughtful speech can calm conflict and strengthen relationships. Now, while our society values freedom of speech, freedom of speech does not mean that words are harmless. Words may be small, but they have an enormous impact. They have the power to wound or to bring life. The Bible speaks very honestly about the power of words. In James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, we are told that the tongue is compared to the bit in a horse's mouth, guiding a strong animal, and like a small rudder that is steering a large ship, illustrating just how something small can have an enormous influence. But the tongue can also be destructive. Says James, like a tiny spark, it can set ablaze an entire forest. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 21, puts it simply, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now this might sound dramatic, but when we consider everyday life, it is not difficult to see why. The Bible reminds us that freedom of speech does not remove our responsibility when it comes to speech. Just because somebody can say something does not mean that they should. In our study so far, Proverbs 1 through to 10, we learned that a Christian is somebody who reverently fears God and they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pursue God's wisdom. They remain teachable. They guard their hearts. They obey God's word. They reject folly and sin and allow the Holy Spirit to transform their characters. And in daily life, they are guided by and shaped by God's truth, His words of wisdom. Now, how does that play out in the use of the tongue? Well, basically, in speaking the truth, number one, we're going to look at that. Number two, in doing so in love, but we're going to use a different phrase for it, speaking words that build up. And then in the third place, doing this whilst recognizing the need for self-control. Self-control. Well, let's look at speaking the truth in love and not lying. The book of Proverbs speaks very plainly about the importance of honesty and the seriousness of lying. Take, for example, chapter 12 and verse 22. It declares, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. In other words, the Lord detests lying, but He delights in those who are truthful. It's interesting just to think of how God is separating humanity just by that statement. Ultimately, in matters of honesty, what matters most is not what seems convenient or effective to us, but what the Lord thinks. Scripture reinforces this very strongly. The proverb says that there are six things that the Lord hates: lying tongue, and a false witness who breathes out lies. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. The ninth commandment also states, you shall not bear false witness to your neighbor. Clearly, God detests lying. And Scripture even goes further. Not only does God condemn outright lying, but also related sins to lying, like gossip and slander. Proverbs repeatedly contrasts the truth with deception. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Proverbs 21 verse 17. Likewise, a faithful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. Proverbs 14 verse 5. These two proverbs remind us that our characters are shaped by our speech. Truthful people speak honestly, whilst those of corrupt hearts, well, they naturally produce lies. When a morally corrupt person is caught in deception, it is not a surprise. Lies grow from a dishonest heart. Conversely, integrity in speech is the evidence of a transformed life. At its root, lying reveals actually a deeper problem. To lie is ultimately to fear people more than God and to disregard His truth. These are strong words, but Scripture is clear. Honesty is not just the best policy. It is the only policy for a child of God, for somebody who fears God. So this raises the question for each one of us. Do we tell lies? Do we sometimes bend the truth or become economical with it? What about exaggeration or understating the truth or the facts? Jesus describes Satan as the father of lies. God's people must not resemble him. Not a good idea. Instead, follow the Lord who is the truth. The New Testament echoes the same call. Do not lie to one another, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and you have put on the new self. Telling lies is part of the old life before we become Christians. But that changes when we become Christians. Those who belong to Christ are called to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Proverbs reminds us that lies never escape God's judgment. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. As the Proverbs shows us, speaking the truth is vital. It makes us think, when we use words, are we speaking the truth? But the tongue, more than that, is also a force that carries with it life and death. So we must speak the truth, but we must speak it in such a way that we speak life. And that's our next focus, rather than to destroy. Now, our mouths can bring life, encouragement, and healing, or they can cause deep harm. That's the reality. Proverbs 10 verse 11 puts it like this. The mouth of the righteous is like a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The image is vivid. Think about a fountain. A fountain refreshes and nourishes and brings forth life as it produces fresh new water. In the same way, that is what the words of the righteous are doing in blessing others with their words. This life-giving speech ultimately comes from God Himself. Life and peace comes from Him to all who are righteous in Jesus Christ. That means to everybody who trusts and believes in Jesus. And it flows to them through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself said to the Samaritan woman in John 7 verse 38, "Whoever believes in Me, streams of living waters will flow from within them." This helps us understand why the righteous speaks words of life, or why they ought to. What fills the heart inevitably flows through the mouth. Jesus explains this very plainly in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and verse 35. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things that are stored up within him, and the evil man, evil things, out of the evil that is stored up in him. The speech of the righteous, in other words, of a believer, promotes life. And not only in an earthly sense, but also in an eternal sense. When believers speak the truth of the gospel, they become instruments through which God brings life and salvation to others. Yet Proverbs also warns us of the destructive side of speech. The same mouth that can give life can also bring devastation. The proverb says that the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Behind pleasant words may lie harmful intentions. Instead of healing and refreshing others, such speech wounds and destroys. Words shaped by hostility, deception, carelessness, it can crush a person's spirit. Have you ever experienced that? Well, let us consider a few examples. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, Proverbs 10 verse 18 tells us, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Now, when a person is concealing anger that they have towards somebody else, it is just a matter of time, and that anger comes to the surface. And then, oftentimes, it turns into harmful words. It's called slander. Take, for example, a family member who spreads false accusations about a relative, slandering their character. But a godly response is instead to speak truthfully about that family member, to address grievances directly, and to seek reconciliation. Well, let's go to another problem of the tongue, which is very common: gossip. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, we read, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." That's the gossip. Sharing rumors, it divides relationships. That's what the Proverbs are telling us. Think of a church member who is listening to somebody else who is slandering someone else. And then they take that slander and they begin a smear campaign. Or they simply just spreading rumors about someone. And what does that do? Well, very soon, it creates division and conflict and tension. But the godly response, instead of gossiping, is to practice discretion. Protect confidence. Not listen to the slanderer and participate with the gossiper, but rather to build trust. Oh, there's another problem of the tongue that also breaks down, and that's quarrelsome speech. Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7. Listen to this one. The fool's lips walk into a fight. His lips are a snare to his own soul. That's what harsh words do. They provoke conflict. Example, a heated discussion with somebody. How quickly that escalates. I don't know about you, but to be in a heated discussion is extremely difficult to stay calm. But what is the godly response? It is to be calm, use controlled words to de-escalate, and rather restore peace, to be peacemakers, not trouble stirrers. Oh, and then there is flattery and manipulation. Oh, that goes around a lot. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. False praise. Oh my, how that undermines trust. Example. Friends who compliment one another for personal gain. Well, that's manipulation. Flattery. But what's the godly response? Offer sincere appreciation without expecting anything back. And give honest encouragement. The last example of breaking down, but also building up, is wise life-giving speech. Proverbs 12 verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. How true is that? Reckless words, they wound. Toxic words discourage. They leave lasting pain. But words guided by wisdom and love, they encourage, they comfort, they strengthen, and they build up. For example, a parent who comforts a discouraged child, or a friend who uplifts with godly counsel. One truth emerges. One simple truth: the tongue can either be a fountain of life or a weapon of destruction. Because our words carry such tremendous power, the next question becomes unavoidable. How do we guard our speech so that it consistently reflects wisdom rather than folly? That naturally leads to the need of self-control. Self-control in the use of the tongue. Words are powerful, and without restraint, they can easily lead us into sin. Proverbs 10 verse 19 warns, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The more we speak, the more likely We are to say something that is foolish, hurtful, or untrue. The New Testament echoes this wisdom. In James 1 verse 19, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Oh, what wonderful advice. So few people follow that advice. In everyday life, the danger is easy to see. Think of a joke. It starts all well, and then what happens? We hurt somebody with our words. Or a casual conversation, before we know it, we drift into gossip. I cannot tell you how often that's happened to me. And you have to stop yourself, because it happens so naturally. Or we try to correct somebody and we go too far. And then we start saying things that are untrue. Or we speak to provoke a reaction out of someone. And then it backfires and escalates. Or the more we talk about ourselves, what happens? The more likely we are to boast. The pitfalls are so many with the use of words. And so Scripture urges us to pray. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141, verse 3. To ensure that our conversations are always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may impart grace to the listener. Colossians 4 verse 6. We should build others up and not simply fill silence. Wisdom often expresses itself actually in silence, not saying anything. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Proverbs 11 verse 12. Rather remain silent than belittling and speaking things that makes no sense. The temptation to criticize somebody or to give somebody a piece of our mind is so strong. Yet restraint, self-control, shows true understanding. James warns, if anybody thinks he is religious, but he doesn't bridle his tongue, Matt prayed about that, he deceives his own heart and his religion is worthless. Oh, how our tongues betray us. Do you struggle with reckless words? The kind that you regret afterwards. Perhaps snapping at somebody when you get offended. Or reacting in anger without thinking. Oh my. We see it in daily life. Parents yelling at children. Bosses humiliating staff. Drivers shouting abuse. Or people mocking others who make mistakes. These things are so frequent and normal. We start thinking, well, that's normal speech, an acceptable speech. But these are all examples of poor judgment in speech. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 13 warns us, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his own lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. How often do our words not entangle us? How about you young people? Are you struggling with your words? I know us older people, we struggle often. We make harsh remarks, impulsive boasts, lies, we tell them, boastful claims, rash promises, and all the other things that we have looked at. Biblical examples show us the danger of this. King Saul, one time, was very rash. To make an oath when the Israelites fought the Philistines. And for that stupid oath, he almost killed his own son, Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24 and 25. And then there is Japheth. I'm actually still angry with Japheth. A judge in Israel that rashly vowed to offer to the Lord as a sacrifice whatever walks through the door of his house, only if the Lord would deliver them against the Ammonites. And the Lord delivered them. And who walked through the door? You can go and read that for yourself. In Judges 11, verses 30 and 31. Peter himself, the Apostle Peter, said he would never disown the Lord. But he found himself with his own words of his own mouth disowning the Lord. The righteous avoids traps by speaking carefully and sometimes even remaining silent. Thoughtful, measured words reflect wisdom. And they preserve peace. Wise speech also prevents conflict. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Think of everyday life. Steve yells, "Why didn't she wake me up?" in anger. And Lucy calmly replies, "You need the rest, my dear. I'll put the shower on. There's coffee. I'll take you to the station." Bob snaps, "Why are you so stupid?" And Sam simply apologizes and fixes the mess. Our natural reaction might be to snap back. But self-control calms irritation and it prevents fallouts. A gentle answer diffuses anger. Harsh words escalate them. Do you agree? Is that your experience? The Bible gives striking examples. Gideon calmed the angry Ephraimites after a military victory. They wanted to kill them. But he was calm in the way he spoke. Abigail restrained David's wrath through humble and persuasive words. He wanted to kill her foolish husband. Jesus himself answered the Pharisees' trick questions about taxes and wisdom, with wisdom, avoiding danger. Wise speech always produces good fruit. Sinners are converted through wise speech. Controlled speech. Believers are encouraged. The weak are strengthened. The ignorant informed. Backsliders corrected. Words are instruments in the hands of God. We should use them well. Proverbs celebrate the beauty of appropriate speech. A word in season. Oh, how good that is. Proverbs 15, verse 23. Isn't it wonderful? A fitting reply at the right moment brings so much joy and peace. Sometimes we hear people reply and say, "Oh, I wish I said that." Or they lie in bed thinking, "I should have said that." Believers should be ready to answer the hope that is in them, and do it with words of wisdom and humility. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Are you pondering before you answer? Are you thinking things through? The implication of the words that you're going to use, that is what the righteous are doing. Or are you in the habit of just blurting out before you think? Brothers and sisters, we must cultivate discernment and self-control in the use of our tongues, speaking wisely, graciously, and at the proper time. It is a source of blessing, and it glorifies God. But let's close with some practical applications. Going back to that Proverbs 18 verse 21, let me just read it for us again. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Words are not neutral. They shape relationships, influence people, but they can also leave lasting marks. Harsh, angry, and deceptive words can wound deeply. A careless remark may linger in somebody's mind for years, but honest, loving, and encouraging words can strengthen and restore. Let us remember that our words do not appear out of nowhere. They reveal what is inside of us. Remember that. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Write that down. Luke 6 verse 45. What we say exposes our attitudes, our priorities, and more importantly, the condition of our own hearts. This means that sinful speech is often the symptom of something that is deeper. Pride, anger, bitterness, envy, selfishness, and so on. And when careless or harmful words come out of our mouths, we should examine our own hearts before God. Sadly, James highlights a very troubling inconsistency in how we use our tongues. He says in James 3 verses 9 and 10, "With it we bless the Lord, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people made in the likeness of God." Brothers and sisters, he says these things ought not to be so. They ought not to be so. How easy it is to speak kindly when we are in public, but harshly at home. Or we praise God in church, and with those same lips, we speak critically of others during the week. James is right. It ought not to be so. God's words, the scripture tells us, by contrast, is holy, righteous, and good. Romans 7 verse 12. But can the same be said about our words? Consider how often we speak. It is estimated that the average person says something around about 14,000 words a day. Millions of words a year. I think it was something like 140 million words in the average lifetime. No wonder Proverbs warns us, when words are many, transgressions are not lacking. Jesus gives us even a more sober reminder. On the day of judgment, people will give an account of every careless word they speak. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. And Proverbs 15 verse 3 says, God hears them all. Every single word that we speak in the hearing of God. And we'll be judged for every one of them. That means our words are not small things. They are one of the most constant moral forces in our lives. For many of us, this means that we need to pay more close attention to how we speak. Actually, we ought to repent of the way that we use our tongues. The Bible doesn't only warn us about harmful speech. Two more applications. It also calls us to use our words positively. I love this Bible verse, Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear." Isn't that wonderful? This means we should choose words that are truthful, gracious, and helpful to the people that we speak to. Words that will encourage and bless rather than tear down. Words that will calm conflict rather than inflame it. Words that will strengthen faith and point people to Christ and to God rather than away from Him. May our speech be a means which God blesses others. But lastly, maybe there is somebody here listening to this sermon, and you have to admit, to be honest, I have used my tongue to lie, to gossip, to slander, to argue, to mock, to manipulate, to quarrel, etc., etc., and wound others with harsh and reckless words. I have a wild tongue. I cannot tame it. Who can help me? The good news is that Christ Himself offers forgiveness for the abuse of the tongue, but also transformation, not only of your tongue, but your whole life. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, then he will be able to honor me. Without me, you can do nothing." So Christ is saying to those who cannot control their tongues, "Come to me in faith and repentance. I will give you grace that will reshape your life, including your tongue. And I will change your heart. And as I change your heart, your words will start to change as well. And when that happens, your speech will become what God intends for your speech to be, a fountain of life that blesses and that glorifies Him."